Hey everybody, I hope you and your loved ones are safe, happy and healthy. Before you listen to or watch the show, remember to subscribe and follow us on Twitter, Facebook and LinkedIn to stay up to date with all the latest news and updates from my legal club. If you, your family or your business need any legal support or no obligation solicitor quotes, please get in touch with us at mylegalclub.co.uk. Before you listen to the show, please note the content is for information purposes only and is not to be relied upon. Stay well, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to the show. I am your host, Sean Rogers, and I am delighted to be joined on today's show by Michael Lawler of Integrity Wealth Management. Michael has been involved in mortgage advice since 2004. Michael worked for a large estate agent in central London and took the step in 2011 to start growing his own mortgage business with the main focus on building a team around him that are passionate about customer service and ensuring they secure the best mortgage deals for their clients. On today's show, we're going to be picking Michael's brains on the mortgage market and trying to extract as much value for you as possible. Michael, before we begin, how are you?
Yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, just back from holiday, had a bit of a whirlwind, summer holidays over, and now crash bang into back into work and trying to catch up with everything.
Yeah, it's the 6th of September as we record at lunchtime, so I'm hoping Michael's cooler than I am. I am currently melting in the fact that now the summer holidays are open, kids go back in school, the sun decides to start shining. Before we get stuck in, Michael, can you confirm what areas and products do you specialise in?
So mainly just mortgages. So sort of quite unusual in that, a lot of mortgage advisors, 50% of their income comes from selling sort of insurance products and 50% from sort of mortgages, whereas I just wholly just mortgage advice in terms of what we offer. And we don't try and do anything else other than mortgage advice. So obviously being in the industry for like 20 years, I know lots of people that do other stuff. So, we can help anyone with anything, with regards to finance, even commercial finance. We have, partners that we work with and we refer stuff on. But in terms of what we do is literally just mortgage advice on a day-to-day basis.
And as we record, as I say, in September 2023, last month, the big six lenders reduced rates in the first 2 weeks of August across a number of 2-year and 5-year fixed products. Inflation in the UK dropped to 6.8% in the year to July from 7.9% in June. But the Bank of England is expected to raise interest rates again on the 21st of September in an effort to bring inflation down. Michael, can you give some examples of the best 2-year and 5-year fixed products on the market currently for people looking to buy a home and also those looking to remortgage?
Yes, there's not a lot of difference, to be honest with you, and the rates still aren't fantastic. When you look at a kind of a 2-year fixed, you're looking at rates close to 6%, so just a fraction below 6%. 5-year fixes around the 5.5%, maybe 5.25%, depending on your loan to value. And to get just above 5%, you've got to be willing to fix in for 10 years, which not a lot of our clients are currently on these rates. We're still doing, vast majority of the business we're doing at the moment is 2-year fixes.
And for people who are looking to buy in 2024 or remortgage in 2024, as I say, we're recording in September 2023, do you think they're best accelerating that? Are they best delaying that? Or should they stick to their original plans in respect to 2024? And also, where do you see the rates going potentially over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, so it all comes down to your individual circumstances. When I speak to clients now, I say to them, look, I'm not going to try and talk you out of not buying, but just make sure you're not overpaying. Look at where the market is, look at what property, how long it's been on the market for, work out what you're going to afford, and long term as well. The conversations we have with people is, if you take, for example, a 35-year mortgage, you need to be able to afford it for those 35 years. What's your plans? So we're having, I would say, much more in-depth, detailed conversations with people to say, look, what's your long-term plans? What are you going to be doing in the future that's going to enable you to, pay this mortgage off? Because I think it's a long term to have a mortgage, 30, 35 years. So whenever I have conversations with people, I'm talking to them about how quickly can you pay it off and talking to them about making overpayments on the mortgage. Trying to talk them out of buying that expensive sports car, on finance and stuff like that, and saying, look, mortgage is the biggest commitment that you have. my advice is to try and get that paid off as quickly as possible.
Yeah, just on that, is it fair to say that then when people are getting a 35-year mortgage, as you say, am I miles off in suggesting that maybe that's a bit like the old days where people would talk about interest-only mortgages, particularly like 15 years ago, and say, actually, we need to nail your exit plan here. Like, is that exit plan to downsize, as an example, and that's what you're expecting to do at that point? Does that mean that maybe when people are looking at 35-year mortgages, even on a repayment model, that actually there's more cause for concern, or at least thought, like you've said, about those potential exit strategies and obviously the affordability of that post-retirement?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm advising clients, I'm looking to build a relationship for the whole period of their mortgage. So whether it's 25, 30, 35 years. So I always want to try and give them the best advice possible. And I say to them, look, we can get you these mortgages, but you're the one who's got to pay it back at the end of it. So you need to have some sort of something in place that, you know that you're going to get a pay rise, for example, or, you know, if there's two of you on the mortgage and you've got kids at age, you know, when they're going back to school, you know, you're going to be able to work more hours, that kind of thing. You know, what's your plan to be able to get this mortgage paid off? And it's not good enough that you've got parents that might leave your house. You know, where we are in North London, it's very equity rich. You know, a typical, not very fancy house is going to be about £1 million. You know, something quite decent is probably more towards the £2 million mark. So it's, you know, there are a lot of clients that we deal with have quite well-off parents and stuff like that. But I always say to people, you can't rely on that stuff. You have to have your own plans. You know, how are you going to get this mortgage paid off, and how are you going to cope if interest rates do go up even higher? You know.
Yeah, especially with parents on that, in that regard. You know, you look at people living longer, wanting to enjoy their retirement, even the potential for divorce at that point in time, but also even things like care homes and things like that. Yeah. Who knows who in that point in time has to pay for something privately with the healthcare as well at that sort of age. So there can be lots of variables in that regard. Yeah. Focusing on first-time buyers for a moment, what would your advice be for first-time buyers in terms of planning, strategy, timing when looking to purchase the first home? I'm thinking, you know, the people who might be renting right now, and they're thinking about buying their first home, either as an individual or it might be with a partner. And are there any bespoke products that they may not have heard of that may be of interest over and above the more standard products available on the market?
Yeah, so, I mean, where we are again in North London, it's a bit of a nightmare for people at the moment. Mortgage rates have gone through the roof, so it's very expensive for people to buy. Prices have only come off a little bit. You know, they're not reacting actually how they should do. The prices should be falling much, much more than they have done. But we're a nation of home buyers. It doesn't necessarily always react in the way that it should do in terms of house prices. So the big problem that people have got, if they have to rent, the rents are also through the roof. So I'm just saying to everyone, it's very difficult to save. So you're caught between the sort of, you know, you're really a rock and a hard place at the moment for first-time buyers, unless you've got parents you can stay with to try and increase your deposit, or, you know, family help. Then it's just very, very difficult in terms of advising people what to do. It's a case of, you know, you just have to make your own mind. These are the options that I can advise you on, but the people trying to save who have to rent, it's very, very hard because there's just not very many properties to rent, and the ones that are available are super expensive. You know, one bed flats that went from maybe 1200, you know, a year ago, it could be 1600 now in this area. So it's very, very tough for people to try and save that deposit. So in terms of making a leap onto the property market, if they can get the property at a good price, we just look at all of their options. And we're quite lucky, as I mentioned previously, in the area that we are, where we do a lot of, I don't know if you've heard of these, but joint borrower sole proprietor type mortgages, where, you know, you can get help from a family member to help you onto the property ladder. So we just kind of try and explore all of the options. Again, something that you mentioned previously, you know, if they've got older parents with a lot of equity in them, can they, you know, help them out in some way by releasing some of the equity? So there are some products out there which require lower deposits, etc., if you can get some parental help. So it's just a case of exploring all of their options and saying, look, you really need to sit down as a family and work out what the best options are for you without, you know, without affecting your parents' lives as well, you know, because they might need that money at a later stage for family care, as you mentioned, or no one knows, you know, what the future holds. I plan on making a load of money, but spending it all on cruises and not leaving my kids anything. So it all depends on what the, you know, your own family situation is.
Hey, Mike, you and me both. I was reading there's been an increase in landlords selling up. Is this something that you're seeing yourself? And if so, what would your advice be for tenants interested in buying from the landlord or wanting to explore that as a possibility in the future?
Yeah, so again, it's not something that that we've seen in this area, kind of a mass exodus of landlords, because I'm more dealing with what you would call your kind of dinner table landlords, where they buy two or three and they're buying them either as kind of pension pots or to help sort of kids get on the property ladder in the future. Where we are, it's very expensive to buy, so they want to try and keep, you know, family members in the area if possible. And a lot of the products we were doing on the buy-to-lets were five-year fixed because of the stress test. So we haven't seen a mass kind of sell up, but from speaking to some of my other colleagues, I'm part of the Mortgage Advice Bureau network. So a lot of my colleagues are based, you know, all over the UK. They're seeing quite a lot of landlords sell up. So it's not something I'm potentially seeing, you know, seeing a lot of, but I know that it's definitely happening out there in the data. But in terms of buying off your landlord, have a chat with them. Just explain that obviously you can avoid estate agents' fees, which depending on the price of property can be quite expensive. Try and build a good relationship with them. Will they sell it to you at a slight discount? Probably not. Yeah. But it doesn't hurt to ask the question and have that conversation. You know, with the client. So you can save them the estate agent fees, which in this area could be 10, 15 grand. But it's still very difficult for, you know, people that are renting to get that deposits unless you've got parental help. The vast majority of mortgages we do for first time buyers have huge parental help.
For anyone looking to move house, they'll be conscious about property prices and current trajectory. There's a lot of debate about that at the moment. What's your view on property prices over the next 6 to 12 months, and what advice would you have for people in that regard as well? You know, as you say, should they still be definitely sticking to the plans? Is it something they should probably keep a watching brief on for 6 to 12 months if they're thinking about moving house? What would the risk be with either strategy, I guess?
Yeah, it's so difficult to time the market, as they say, to buy at the right time. In terms of kind of prices, unless something happens to interest rates, I think prices have got to come off a bit more. The only thing I think you'll see is, and what we're seeing in this area is, if people can't get the prices they want, they're just not selling. So we have a massive shortage of these family homes. You'd be amazed that there's still a lot of money in London. So there's a lot of people available. One of the things that's really hitting me in my pocket at the moment is the average mortgage that we're doing is being reduced greatly because people are still buying, but they're taking out smaller mortgages, where before they would be willing to borrow a little bit more and kind of leverage up a little bit. Now they're, you know, cashing in other assets that they've got. I'm sort of trying to keep the mortgages as low as possible. And also when we're remortgaging, we're seeing people usually reduce their balances. So that's what we're seeing. People are trying to borrow as little as possible. I can't blame them given the interest rates. But in terms of kind of advice on should you buy now or not, I would just say it's probably always a good time to buy as long as you don't overpay on the property. And if I was a first-time buyer, I'd be trying to negotiate super hard. You know, I'd be trying to save every last penny with my offer.
Yeah, the only thing I think might happen, I'm not qualified to comment really, but sadly, there is always debt, divorce or death,
yeah,
that's going to trigger property sales. And you just wonder if people, not so much, it, like you say, family home properties in certain postcodes with certain schools around them and stuff are always going to be extremely popular. But you wonder if in other locations where, when people, as I say, are in a situation where it's divorce or death as an example, they may not have the queue of people at the same prices that they used to have, and they may for there be more able to take a hit, I guess. And if they start taking a hit on that, there's obviously that knock-on effect when if you're their next door neighbor and you decide that you want to sell and the two people in the road have taken a bit of a hit on it and the market is where it is, it becomes that little bit more difficult, obviously specific properties to one side perhaps, to maybe get what you thought you might have got when people in the same street are selling at potentially a reduced rate and in the area. So that would be a much more of a slow burner. If nothing happens with interest rates, I wonder whether that might have a bit of an element in areas where as you say, they're not sort of the family homes next to the big school and everyone's desperate to get in that postcode lottery for the school catchment area, if you will, which is always going to carry that kind of a premium, I guess. After the booming property purchases to the stamp duty relief during COVID, millions are going to be concerned about the impact rising interest rates and remortgage will have on them. What's your advice to people who have a fixed term mortgage ending in the next 12 months? They would have been on one of these much cheaper rates, and they're now starting to worry about the increased costs involved when remortgaging alongside cost of living.
Yeah, we're actually reaching out to people. So we've got quite a lot of clients. You know, I've got sort of under my firm another 7 advisors that work under my firm for me. So what we do for our clients now is normally we'd reach out 6 months in advance. We're actually going out some 12 months in advance to have these conversations to say, look, at 6%, this is what your mortgage payments are going to be looking like. I mean, I'm going to put my neck on the line here and say, in terms of my prediction for rates, I think they'll be about 1% lower by midpoint next year. Say it's a bit bonkers to try and predict it. That's putting my neck on the line and sort of giving my personal opinion on what I think will happen kind of economics wise. But we're just saying to people, look, be prepared. This is what's happening with interest rates. Cut back where you can. You know, I say we're in quite an affluent area. The David local David Lloyd was oversubscribed. I think they've got 10,000 members and they had like a waiting list. Just look at stuff like that. You know, these expensive gym memberships. You know, the car finance when it comes up, can you deal with a slightly cheaper car? We live in this society now where it's very much keeping up with the Joneses, you know, and a lot of these very nice cars are financed and stuff like that. Do people need these cars? Do they need to go away on as many holidays? You know, these are all the kind of decisions that you need to make, and it's not easy to make. You know, I say, obviously, we're doing less business now, but it's very hard to cut back on your own standard of living when you're used to kind of living a certain way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, so what would, say someone's got a fix coming up in, say, 3 months' time, 3 months beyond, just to expand on that, what can families start to look at right now that would increase the prospects of them being able to remortgage on the best terms possible? You know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the line. So if they were listening to this, watching this, if they're sat at home, what conversations, what should that person be thinking about? Or if they're part of a wider, you know, family or partner, whatever, what sort of discussions over the dinner table should they be having to say, right, if we need to remortgage in 3, 4, 5 months, these are the kind of things we can maybe start thinking about, whether it be from a credit score point of view, a debt point of view,
yeah,
bank statements point of view. What kind of things do you think they need to look at to increase their prospects that when they do speak with a broker like yourselves, it gives them the best chance possible of getting the result they want?
Yeah, well, obviously speak to a broker as early as possible just to get some advice. But most lenders will let you secure a product 6 months in advance. And with a lot of lenders, the products are cancelable. So we always say to someone, secure something as early as possible that's cancelable and then just keep reviewing it. So we basically, once we do a deal for a client, we just check in at least once a month, just in terms of where rates are happening, and, you know, just keep the client involved in that conversation as well and say, look, we've got this for you. Let us take away that stress. So if you speak to a broker, they can take that part away for you. As I mentioned, when we're dealing with clients, we don't want to kind of be a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Let's do a 5-year fix and never speak again. We want to, you know, do 5 5-year fix for you, for example, you know, over the 25 years. We want to be your mortgage person. We don't just want to be your mortgage person. We want to be the person that when you're down the pub, you're telling them about Mortgage Mike and how he's looked after you. And, you know, we want to be that person for them that, you know, they feel they can, you know, recommend us and they can trust us and we're going to look after them. Let's say everything that we do, we try and put the client at the forefront. So whenever I'm making a recommendation to someone, I always try and get as much information and then I try and advise them as if I was in their shoes. You know, if I was in your situation, based on the information that you've given me, you know, for example, if you've got kids that are, you know, fleeing the nest in a few years' time, you're going to have some extra income, you know, maybe not reduce the mortgage term right now because you're strapped for cash, but let's look at it again next time. But if you don't have any rainy day money, try and pay some of that mortgage off.
And in terms of non-standard borrowers, I'm thinking more people who might have bad credit, people who might be self-employed, as an example. people are worried about more niche areas of mortgage brokering, both with the market of mortgage brokers and also in your own experience. What kind of support can you give for them? And are there any bigger challenges than normal right now in terms of securing lending for them than perhaps, you know, a couple of years ago or normally?
Yeah, I mean, self-employed is always been a challenge. You know, we've got a ton of self-employed, probably got more self-employed clients than employed clients. But it's always a challenge because people always try and keep their taxes as low as possible, you know, to try and be as efficient. So we just look at the, you know, there's various different lenders. And one of the great things that we've got is we can actually speak. We've got great relationships with all of the lenders and the business development managers. And we've been doing nothing else but this for a long time. And we've got a very experienced team here. So self-employed people are, you know, pretty straightforward in terms of the advice that we can give them. And we just try and speak to people as early as possible and say, look, this is what you need to do to put yourselves in the best possible situation. Try and earn as much money as possible, obviously, but you know, don't completely run all your expenses through so that you're in a place where you're unmortgageable. Because we say, don't just speak to your accountant, also speak to a mortgage broker, because we can tell you how lender's going to look at it for you. In terms of people with adverse credit, that's actually where I started out. Just dealing with people with adverse credit when I started out as a mortgage broker. So we just get the credit file as early as possible, and then we can, you know, try and give people the good advice. And it's quite straightforward what it, in terms of pay your bills and pay them on time. But you know, lots of people for lots of different reasons. Not sometimes they do have the money, but they just, you know, they're not very good with the money, that they can run into situations. So we just try and find a little bit more about the client, why these situations have happened. And sometimes, you know, we can explain it to lenders and we can get stuff through that even surprises me sometimes, where, you know, you think, oh, they're not going to have that at all. You know, we do the agreement in principle, and it declines based on their credit score. And then you, you know, you go to the lender and you try and explain it to them a little bit more in detail. I tweeted about one I had a few weeks ago with HSBC, where I thought, you know, declined on credit score, and it was a very minor blip. I didn't think that the lender would do it, but they did in the end through sheer persistence, through just me being a pain in the backside, which anyone who follows my Twitter account can probably understand that I can be a bit of a pain in the backside sometimes.
No comment. In terms of reaching out to a mortgage broker, a lot of people will just go, look, I'm with insert name of lender, really happy with them. Letter comes through the post. I have a quick look at it. Think I can afford that. In fact, we have a chat about it. We can afford that. Why should I still consider going out to a mortgage broker rather than just sticking with my existing lender and going through a renewal program? Why should I look at, you know, moving product for want of a better phrase?
Just for peace of mind. You know, if you speak to a mortgage broker and you speak to your existing lender, you're in a much better place to know that you've got the best deal. So as I say, you don't have to use a mortgage broker, but at least speak to one, you know, and get their opinion. Maybe speak to two mortgage brokers. A lot of the time, you know, it's a personality as well. As I say, you only want to, for me, I only want to have, I've been doing this a long time, so I'm at a quite nice stage in my career where I only work with the people that I want to work with. If someone's a pain in the backside, I won't work with them, but not everyone will probably want me as their mortgage broker either. You know, I'm not going to be the right fit for everyone either. So it's worth just checking in with a couple of mortgage brokers, you know, use their time, utilize their knowledge. I say, with the software that we've got now, most times we can check within 5 minutes whether there's a better deal for you. And quite often I'll have a conversation with someone and say, look, I'm only going to be able to save you a couple of £100. It's not worth doing it. Just go direct to your lender. And next time you come around to it, just check in with me again and say, it takes 5 minutes of my time. And, you know, I'm more than happy to give that 5 minutes. You'll have to listen to me, you know, give you a bit of advice on the products and stuff like that. But I can just do a quick sense check for you. And then if you want some more information, we'll obviously have a much more sort of in-depth conversation, you know, about it.
Yeah, nothing to lose, everything to gain. And yeah, in terms of, I suppose some people might feel that if let's say fixed term is coming to an end in 6 months' time, I suppose some people might think, well, if I reach out to a broker now, might I incur an increased rate prematurely? Might there be any repayment charges? might it hurt me financially in that meantime? Is that fair? Can you allay those fears? And also, like you said, what's the risk if they leave it till lastminute.com and go, right, I'm a month away from this fixed term coming to an end. I'm now got a month before, say, a standard variable rate kicks in, and they come to you and say, hey, I'm a month away from this. Can you help me?
Yeah, we get that more than you believe. So we reach out to people early. We have a system via kind of MailChimp where we email everyone about their mortgage renewals. And then we try and not pester them too much. We make at least 3 contacts to say, look, let's look at this. And then I get so many people the month before just get back in contact. Oh, can we look at this now, Mike? And I'm like, well, if we'd have looked at this 6 months ago, we might have been able to save you 1%. You know, it could be 10 grand over even only a couple of years on kind of some of the loans that we do. So my just advice to everyone is look as early as possible. Make sure if you are securing something that it is cancelable. So with a lot of the lenders, they will let you book a rate 6 months in advance, but you can cancel it. So that's, again, the benefit of speaking to a broker, because they'll be able to run through all of those options for you and make sure you're not being tied into something. Because as I say, it's definitely worth reviewing it, and rates are just starting to come off a little bit. Nothing to get too excited about, but we've seen some more lenders reducing up to sort of 0.35 today. So depending on the size of your mortgage, that could save you a couple of grand, over the fixed period. So it's just worth looking at it as early as possible, but keep reviewing it. And if you've got a good broker, that's something that they will do for you.
Yes, and slight little plug as well on that, in that a lot of people, if they leave it to the last minute, one of the issues, I mean, there's a number of issues with it, but quite a lot of the time when people aren't remortgaging with their existing lender and they look to move, they might be offered free legals. A lot of lenders will offer a cashback alternative, and yes, there's a huge difference with that. With free legals, hypothetically, you're not actually being directly represented by a solicitor yourself. And also with free legals, they're obviously doing high volume.
Yeah.
In terms of that can potentially incur delays. You're not always going to get the support that you need in that regard. Whereas you could take a cashback element, hypothetically, then get a law firm with a smaller caseload, potentially a more experienced fee earner, giving you that personal touch. And that means that you should be able to complete quicker, reducing any risk of falling onto standard variable rates, because ultimately your case is core in the system. And even just from a customer service and update point of view, especially for brokers as well, not always, but a lot of free legal firms are so busy because of the nature of doing that work, that customer service and responding to phone calls and waiting times on the phone are not ideal. So where you've got the option, it's much better, in my humble opinion, to go for the cashback option, and you'll be able to find really, really good solicitors with smaller caseloads that can do things quicker with better support. And that is an area that we sort of, a small plug, that's an area that we sort of specialize in. So, we help clients directly, more so we work with a lot of mortgage brokers in that regard too. And that's something to consider, because as I say, if you're leaving it to the last minute and you want to move product, you are seriously in the lap of the gods, not just with your lender. Your mortgage broker can do a phenomenal job, but you need your legal team to flip that round pretty quickly.
Yeah, I can't emphasize that enough, because I say we've got great relations with all the lenders and we can get mortgage offers out super fast. But with some of these free legals, just as you kind of mentioned, they don't even have a telephone number. There is no customer service or contact point. You're in the kind of lap of the gods. So if there is that cashback element, it's 1,000%, clients worth taking that. And that's,
yeah, I mean, the cashback makes it free anyway, but I would argue that, I mean, most remortgage firms, we're talking a few hundred quid here, and if you can't afford a few hundred quid, there's a serious question mark in my mind that you should be remortgaging on a loan of 6 figures, rather than running the risk of free legals, in the worst case scenario you could fall into standard variable rate, and therefore you've lost more than you've gained potentially anyway. And the other alternative to that as well is that even if it did complete on time, it's just a stress that you don't necessarily need when everyone's got enough of that in their lives, I guess. So over the past few weeks, we touched on one on the bad credit example. Are there any other anonymous case studies of interest where you've overcome particular challenges for clients and securing them the lending about?
Just the one that springs to mind was where they were self-employed and they had a couple of streams of income. Again, where we're very fortunate, again, we can sort of run this past kind of a business development manager in advance. So because we're machine-like in terms of the amount of mortgages we do. We do, you know, do quite a lot and do quite nice loan sizes. We've got those great relations where we don't necessarily just, I would never just chuck something in. We'll have that sort of in-depth conversation, look at it. The great thing is it's not always a yes, it's sometimes a no. And then you know not to waste 6-7 weeks with a particular lender. You know, we get a quick response and then we come back and put it with the right lender so we get the job done right first time, you know. So that's really what we pride ourselves on, putting the case with the right lender rather than just, you know, chucking in and see what happens. Because as you say, the time element can be quite expensive for people, especially if they're remortgaging and where the standard variable rates are now. You know, half a month on those can be super expensive for clients.
And before we wrap up, what are the biggest challenges for you in your own business in the current climate, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the purchase market going down, so we've got a great relationship with a local estate agents. Luckily, you know, they've been around for forever and they've got a very, very good, you know, sort of client bank, and they're massively strong in this area. But because the transaction levels are down for us, that there's a little bit less business about. So we've got to kind of work a little bit harder to make sure, you know, we're staying in contact with people and nurturing clients a little bit better than we probably did previously. So not that we've been lazy, for example, but if we spoke to a client, we kind of give them advice and they go off into the ether. If they come back to us, great. If not, we've kind of been a little bit lackadaisical. Now we're making sure that we're, you know, staying in contact with people, just offering them advice. So, you know, business levels are definitely down because of the transaction levels. We've got the remortgage stuff, which is great. And we're very, very fortunate. We're a bit different to a lot of firms, as we've got a huge sort of client book. But we need that purchase business as well. And that's down. So we need to make sure that every client that we speak to, you know, more of them are using us than not using us. So that's our big thing to concentrate on, making sure that, you know, we always try to give the clients a really good experience with us, but we're trying to go even more so that they, you know, if they speak to us and they speak to a few other mortgage brokers, they always come back to us. So that's what I'm sort of banging on to the guys is, you know, we've got to delight these clients. We've got to make them sing our praises and get more referrals and stuff like that. So that's what we're laser focused on right now.
And finally, what are your plans for the future? Is it kind of maintaining everything that you've built to this point in time and navigating the choppy waters as an example, or are there other areas you're looking to expand in? What are your kind of ambitions the next couple of years?
Growth, basically. So there's me plus another 7 advisors. I'm kind of on the I've been doing this a long time. I'm on the second stage of my client, you know, where I've kind of built up a very big client book, and now I'm trying to sort of almost give it away to the other guys to deal with, and I'm concentrating on trying to grow a business. So, you know, for me, I think it's a great time now to try and even grow more. You know, say we're in slightly choppy waters at the moment, but it won't last forever. You know, so I think we might have a tough 6 months, 12 months, but, you know, as we all know, at some stage we'll come out of this. And for me, it's a great time to try and to grow. There's a million areas in finance where, as I say, we're very much concentrating on kind of residential buy-to-let mortgages, and we could do loads more stuff. So, yeah, we're looking at more of the commercial lending. As I say, me personally, I haven't offered kind of insurance advice for years, but we're looking for an in-house insurance advisor as well, so that we can, at the moment, we refer it out to a third party. If people come to us and say, look, we need insurance advice, we refer that out to someone else. So we're looking to get a full-time sort of employee person here doing insurance advice. So yeah, we'll continue to grow slowly, but yeah, there's no plans to pull back from growing. As I say, I've got quite big plans over the next 5 years, and I'll be pushing those quite hard, even over these next 12 months.
Brilliant, exciting plans. And that's it for this episode, everyone. Michael, thank you so much for being such a great guest. Thank you for listening or watching. You can find out more information about how to contact Michael in the links to this show below. Please share and spread the word about the MLC show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I'm going to be cheeky and ask for a 5-star review. And remember to check out the products and services at myleagleclub.co.uk. If you're a client that needs legal support, please don't hesitate to give us a shout. If you're a mortgage broker or an estate agent, we work with many of you. We'd be delighted to have a chat as well. But more importantly, stay well and please take care.